Yes, welcome back to Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. If the Champions League last night wasn't enough for you, we've got the big ones coming tonight. Real Madrid and Manchester United. And of course, Shakhtar taking on Borussia Dortmund. And a man who's going to take us through last night's games and have a little bit of a look at how the Germans are going to do it against the Ukrainians tonight is Mad About Football's very own George Mateus joining me on the line. George, how are you, mate? How is the best voice in radio doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for the intro. Definitely.
Hey, pleasure, man. Pleasure to always have you on the show. You are welcome, of course, anytime you want to hijack the World Football Daily airwaves, my man. When you first and foremost, where were you watching the games last night? Were you tucked away at home? Were you in a studio somewhere? Or I guess it was the afternoon for you as well, man.
Yeah, it was the afternoon. I was at work. We were filming where we were preparing for the Two Football Brazil edition. And the way we have kind of my station set up at work, we have, you know, multiple signals, multiple cable televisions and stuff like that. So I was able to have on my station, we have two little 18-inch old school, you know, big box TVs.
Yeah.
And on my left eye, I had Celtic and Juventus. And on my right eye, I had PSG and Valencia. So I was able to kind of, you know, go back and forth with my eyes and I had the volumes up, so anytime an announcer would say something, I could quickly look both ways and see. So I had my head on a swivel for about 90 minutes.
You pretty much had it perfectly on lockdown there, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Which was your eye line being drawn to the most, PSG, Valencia, or the Celtic game last night?
I was drawn to PSG, Valencia, because the whole experiment, it's not an experiment, but the whole process of PSG and, you know, all the big money and then all the big players that they bought and all the money that they spent. I am so curious to see how they do in the Champions League, because when you buy all those players, you don't do it to win the Coupe de France. You do it to win the Champions League. So I was intrigued to see how they would play and how they would handle playing in Spain at the Mestalla. Mestalla is always a very tough stadium for any team. I mean, Real Madrid and Barcelona know that very well. So I was intrigued by that a little more than the Celtic Juventus. And that was where, like, I kind of had, if I had to break down a number, it was 60% focus PSG Valencia and 40% on Juve and Celtic.
So I mean, this is a side, as you say, George, that a PSG side that is being built to be the best in Europe right now. Do you see on the performances that you've seen in general in the Champions League and last night, did you come out of last night's game thinking, this is a side that could really upset the odds and make a run for the final this year?
To tell you the truth, I didn't see that. To tell you the truth, the two goals that they got were a product of some poor goalkeeping. They weren't horrendous mistakes, but the first one that Lavezzi scored, it basically goes through the hands of Guaita. And then the second one, he slides over it and deflects off his left leg. So Valencia really had, I wouldn't say they controlled the match, but they could have done better let me put it this way. PSG should have done better, could have done better, and they were just bailed out a little bit by some poor goalkeeping. So I mean, they'll probably advance because of two road goals, but I don't see them, depending on who they get in the quarterfinal draw, I don't know. I don't think they'll get to the final or even the semifinal. I wasn't too impressed with their performance.
A number of missed chances as well. Do you think that could end up being a big thing for them as they're going? Because Lavezzi could have easily had a hat trick. There were plenty of opportunities last night.
Oh, absolutely. For PSG.
Yeah.
I think it's something. It should be concerning. You've watched tons of football games like I have, and it's always just come down to finishing. You know, you have to finish when you have your chances in that last third. You have to finish. If not, it'll come back and get you. And they got lucky. The goalkeeping could have been better by Guaita, but I think that if they don't clean that up at home, and they're at home, so you assume that they'll do much better at home in their stadium in front of their fans in the Parc des Princes, we'll see. You know, then they can move on. But if they don't get it cleaned up and they aren't better, then in the next rounds, assuming they make it to the quarterfinal, then I think their ride will end in the quarterfinals.
And an absolutely massive lifeline thrown Valencia's way in the final few minutes of that game. First, Adil Rami gets the goal after Sirigu really should have come for a free kick, arguably. And then Ibrahimovic gets himself sent off as well. I mean, this is suddenly, after being all in PSG's favour in it with 88 minutes gone, suddenly it all gets another big spanner thrown in the works here for the second leg.
Oh, absolutely. Ibrahimovic in second half injury time to get a red card is just stupid. Mm. It really is. I don't understand it, what he was thinking at that time. Valencia could be that they just need that. They need two goals. They have to score twice because obviously the two road goals that PSG have, but it's not inconceivable. It's not inconceivable. They have a great lifeline. You mentioned Abdul Hamid. I'm really going to be interested to see what happens in Paris in 2 weeks time for the second leg. But if Valencia beat PSG, then the supporters of PSG are going to put a lot of heat. And I don't know how you curse in French. I never learned how you curse in French. Claire different, but in French, he's gonna learn all those curse words real quick if they get eliminated in the second leg.
Yeah, I think there will be plenty of choice words being thrown his way, George. That's for sure. There, of course, was the other game last night, Celtic against Juventus. First and foremost, we were talking about going into that game that it was so important for Celtic to have the 12th man behind them.
And oh yeah,
getting that early goal. How important was that for Juventus for sucking the life out of that stadium?
Oh, it was massive. It was so massive. First of all, let me say that Celtic Park in Glasgow, it's getting to the point where that might be on my bucket list for a game, because it was just an incredible atmosphere in the beginning of the game and throughout the game. But you're right, though, getting that early goal, it was a Marquisio who scored, although it looked like when Matri touched it, it might have gone out completely over the line. But I think Marquisio eventually cleaned it up and left no doubt. That was huge. It was huge, obviously, for the away goals rule, but also for getting that crowd out of the game. Juventus, however, because they're a veteran team, you have leaders like Pirlo on that squad, that it looked like it didn't affect them at all, that atmosphere at Celtic Park. So it was a massive goal, and you know, they got two more and put it away. A lot of people I know that we were talking in the office, they weren't really surprised. They were surprised in the fact that it was 3-0, but they weren't surprised that Juventus ultimately came out with the victory.
We'll talk about the Matri first goal and who scored it, Matri or Marquisio, in just a sec, George. But just before we get on to that, let's have a look at the Juventus defending for those set pieces that was causing such a stir, and especially Lichtsteiner and the way he was manhandling Gary Hooper around Gianluigi Buffon, wasn't allowing him to stand where he wanted to, and physically dragging him out of the way on occasions. Both players received a yellow card, but the home fans and a lot of the TV pundits expected that because this carried on, that Lichtsteiner probably should have been sent off. What were your thoughts on the defending and whether he should have carried on the park, Lichtsteiner?
I think that the yellow cards were appropriate, and eventually that if it continued, you got to send them off. If it continues after the yellow card, then obviously they haven't learned their lesson. Lichtsteiner didn't learn his lesson, and he feels like he can get away with it. So it would have been extreme. It would have been very controversial. But I think that to send home the point, it probably would have been the right thing to do. No. But that's something Juventus is going to have to deal with over the next as they advance. Because I mean, three goals up on road goals heading into Turin. I think that it's safe to say they're going to make the quarterfinals. That's something that teams that could be their potential opponents in the next round are going to look at and have, you know, put that in as a strategy, because they look pretty weak on set pieces. I mean, Celtic usually big, strong team in the air as well. And I think Lichtsteiner is a little lucky that he didn't get sent off. He should, you know, that's something that should be concerning to Juventus fans going forward.
So then, George, this brings me on to getting back to the initial Juve opening goal as well. What are these additional assistants down by the kind of by the touchline, by the goal line? What are they there for? Because surely this guy should have seen that Matri's initial effort went over the line and not have to force Marquisio to smash it in as well. Because I got the feeling that if Marquisio hadn't been there and Celtic had cleared the ball away, a goal wouldn't have been given for Juventus, and unjustly so. And then, of course, surely he should have had his eyes on everything that Lichtsteiner was doing in the box and should have prompted the referee to hand out that second yellow.
It makes you wonder how easy it is to be that official and how we can get that job and get those big paychecks, because they just, for the most part, it looked like they just were standing around most of the game, just doing nothing. Maybe they looked like fans just watching the game. I agree with you. The goal by Matri, it lends to the discussion of goal line technology, because maybe it happens so fast. Sometimes these referees, they see it so fast, they don't have the benefit of instant replay, and they have to make a snap decision. And remember, there were bodies crashing in, so it kind of looked, maybe his view was impeded, and so he couldn't get a good look at it. But, and so it kind of, that particular instance lends itself to the talk of goal line technology. I know FIFA's starting to play around with that a little bit. As for the Lichtensteiner thing, yeah, he's got to be more assertive there. You know, you can't just sit there and watch, and he's got to be more assertive. So they had a pretty easy, you know what I mean? Well, not those two particular instances weren't easy, but when you consider kind of the lack of activity, the lack of decision-making in those instances, man, they got a pretty easy paycheck yesterday.
You know, George, we talk about kind of hindsight and 2020 vision and how so easy it is to look back. And for Neil Lennon, though, he's got to be looking back on his decision to play F.A. Ambrose last night in the back four after he just returned from the African Cup of Nations, winning it with Nigeria. Looked tired as a dog out there and was beaten twice, two errors for the first and the third goal for Juventus. Is that really the big decision that cost Celtic last night, do you think?
I think so. I can't think of any other Nigerian player, African Cup of Nations, that was thrown directly into the lineup. The back line did look a mess throughout the game. Obviously, you have to credit Juventus for that. I think that was a major decision. And I don't know if specifically that cost them the game, but I think the whole back line in general and the whole defense of Celtic was a huge part in costing them the game. So I could definitely see why people would say that. And it's a great point. I agree with that. But you have to include the whole back line as well, because the whole back line didn't play very well.
Do you put that down to inexperience, George, at this level?
Inexperience? I don't know, because they went through the group stage. They got through the group stage. They played Barcelona. They played big teams in the group stage. I think it's just Juventus was better. Plain and simple. I think it comes down to that. I think Celtic, of all the teams in the round of 16, I know, you know, Celtic fans might get mad at me for saying this, but they probably were the weakest of all the teams in the round of 16. And so they came up against the Italian champions, who are, didn't they have something like a 40-game unbeaten streak, 40-plus game unbeaten streak from last season to the kind of beginning of this season in Italy? So they just ran up against the better team. That back line played poorly, and, you know, they made him pay for it. So I don't know if it's inexperience as much as just they were just not as talented and not as organized as Juventus.
Hey, sometimes you just play a better opponent and it's tough to get past them. I completely agree with you on that one, George. We do have a massive games, two massive games, in fact, tonight in the Champions League. Of these two, I've been plugging this Shakhtar Donetsk game against Borussia Dortmund for so long now, since the draw came along. But, I mean, your eye is obviously, surely we're going to be casting our main point of viewing on Real Madrid-Manchester United tonight.
Absolutely. But me being working at Goal TV and us having the Bundesliga, I have to admit that I'm really going to be, I think I'm going to be a little more focused on how Dortmund does.
Yes, George.
I'm going to be a little, I mean, we all know the mark. You know, I mean, Manchester United, Real Madrid, that's a final. When you look at just reputation, we all know that's a final. But if you really want to get into football and what team can make a run and something a little bit different, I think that Dortmund Donetsk is going to be, that's going to be something to see. That is going to be something to see. Both teams are attacking teams. And Dortmund, remember, Dortmund won the group of death. They won the group of death. So I'm really going to keep my eye out for that Dortmund-Donetsk game. It might be more exciting than Real Madrid and Manchester United.
We've been saying this for a long time here on World Football Daily. George, what makes it so exciting for you? Because surely there's a big attraction lost from it with the fact that Shakhtar got rid of Willian this January. Yep. How big an impact is that on this fixture?
Oh, man, he's their one of their, maybe their best player over the last 3 or 4 years. He's their creative force. And those Ukrainian teams, they're not easy to eliminate. They're not easy to eliminate. And they have shown over the years that they can get out of the group stage for a league that's not one of the glamour leagues, maybe not even in that second tier under your England and Spain and Italy. They have shown consistently with Shakhtar that they that they can, Dinamo Kiev as well, that they can get out of the group stage and cause problems for teams in the quarterfinals. So I think that part of it for Dortmund, who are trying to, who are out of it in the Bundesliga. I mean, Bayern Munich have a 15-point lead over Dortmund in the Bundesliga. There's no way they're going to catch Bayern. So this is what they're focusing on. This is their best chance. Well, they also have the German Cup as well, but this is what they are going to be focusing on. So to have Shakhtar as their opponent, it's going to be tough. I think that Willian loss, I don't know if it's going to be the difference, but it certainly is going to have a big impact.
Now, on the weekend, Dortmund lost, of course, to Hamburg in a heavy 4-1 loss. Yeah. Lewandowski was sent off in that. But the back line, especially for two of those four goals for Hamburg, was extremely poor and disorganised. Is it better to have learnt this weekend in time for the Champions League, especially, as you say, with them being out of the Bundesliga title race?
Oh, absolutely. The big thing for Dortmund is that they're missing Neven Subotic. And I always thought he was a very good player. I didn't understand how impactful he was in that back line until the Hamburg game. And even before that, the week before, they beat Leverkusen. I believe it was 3-2. So they gave up two goals against Leverkusen. Leverkusen's a good team, but they definitely missed Neven Subotic in the back. Mats Hummels looked vulnerable. Felipe Santana, who's come in for Subotic, was shaking in that match against Hamburg. So it was good that they got that experience. They could learn from it, organize better. Jurgen Klopp is a very good tactician. So Shakhtar is a better team than Hamburg, so they're going to have to tighten up in order to get into the quarterfinals. But I think you're right. I think that the fact that they lost to Hamburg the way they did was good for them going forward.
George, then, we've got to ask for a couple of score predictions before you go on this, then, for tonight's game. Shakhtar Dortmund first. You're the man to talk to about all things German football at the moment, so go on. Hit us. How is this going to finish up tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Every time I get a prediction, it's wrong. Like, I mean, and I'm not off by a goal. I'm off by, like, 3 or 4 goals. I mean, it's strange. I don't understand it. Oh, my goodness. Shakhtar and Dortmund. Man, that's a good one. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to that game. Ooh, well, let's see. I would have to, I got to make a decision quick here. I'm stalling.
It's all right, man. I can tell. Yeah. I can tell. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, you got to think about this. You got to think about it.
Yeah, I think they're more evenly matched than people expect. And the game is taking place in the Ukraine. Wow. I'm going to say that it ends. I always like to pick a team that wins, but I just see this as a, I'm going to say a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. I like that. I tell you what, I'd love that if that was tonight. We were some thrills Sweet. And spills in Shakhtar, that's for sure. What about Real Madrid, Manchester United?
Ooh, my goodness. That's even harder. wow. Real Madrid, Manchester United at the Bernabeu. Ooh. Oh, goodness. You know Manchester United is not going to be intimidated, that's for sure. Manchester United is, I mean, they played everywhere. No environment worries them.
Only 2 wins on Spanish soil, though, George.
Ooh. Yeah, well, I don't see a third. Can I say a 2-2 draw?
Hey, I tell you what, if we have 8 goals from 2 games tonight, George, you will be my hero tomorrow morning, that's for sure. I'll take 2-2 any day of the week in both these games, mate.
Yeah, I love goals, man. And I know people will say, well, the defending is poor when it's a 5-3. So? You got 8 goals, you know, it's fun to watch.
Damn straight, man. All right, George, you got to let us know what's happening on Mad About Football this week as well before we let you go, because it's a big week for you guys.
Yeah, Mad About Football, we're working on some interviews. I think we're trying to get Sid Lowe. We have to confirm that. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about Libertadores, because the group stage just started yesterday. So we're going to get into that. And I think today is a great game. I think Atlético Mineiro and Grêmio, two of the top Brazilian teams, are going off playing against each other in the group stage. So that should be good. So we have that, the Libertadores, and then just the wild opinions of myself and Juan and Mike. It's always fun.
It's always an absolute blast to check into the Mad About Football show. That's for sure. You can find it on www.worldfootballdaily.com, the home of all things football. George, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. Always love having a chat with you, and we will definitely be calling your name once again. But feel free, as I say, to hijack anytime you want, my man.
No problem. Thank you guys very much for having me. But don't hold me to the score predictions, because I'm terrible at that.
Hey, when it's nil-nil tomorrow, I'll be sending you a few tweets or something saying, yeah, cheers, George. Thanks for jinxing that for us, mate.
I probably do. they tease me at work because, like, I'll wear a shirt of my team. Like, let's say, for example, I like Inter Milan. And I'll wear my Inter Milan shirt the day of the game, and then they'll lose. And I don't understand it. Every time I wear my team shirt on the day they play, they lose. It's the weirdest thing. So, like I said, don't hold me to the predictions, because every time I speak up like that, it winds up going the complete opposite. So,
hey, George, hopefully not. But as an AC Milan fan, I'm now putting in an official request to Goal TV that you have to wear an Inter Milan shirt on every single day of the week, if that's all right. Let's get them out, man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put on my Milan shirt when derby time, Derby della Madonnina. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully that'll work, you know.
we'll get you on the show then, mate. It could be an interesting one between you and I that week, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, big fun, no doubt.
All right, George, take care, man. Have a fantastic afternoon, and enjoy the games tonight, mate.
All right, you too, Juice. Take care. Have a good one.
Cheers, man. George Metellus there from Mad About Football joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Shakhtar Dortmund. A very little brief score prediction, of course, on Real Madrid, Manchester United, and everything that took place last night. As Raf and myself were discussing earlier, when we come back after this very quick break, we're going to be chatting with Mr. Ben Hayward from Goal.com, talking all things Los Blancos, Jose Mourinho, and, of course, El Ruen Rooney, coming to put the fear of God into the Real Madrid side. All that and more coming up on World Football Daily. We'll be back in just a minute.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.